Well, it's a great treat this morning to have an incredible friend of mine and his wife with us today. Ronnie, I told you at the beginning, Ronnie had pastored for 17 years in Bradford, England, and a missionary evangelist. Before that, he owned his own business before he stepped out. But he was a street preacher for many years. Him and Christy both preached on the street for many years, and I had the privilege at sometimes being with him. Matter of fact, we went to, I think, Northern Kentucky University one time, and boy, that was a treat. And I just love being around him. I love his heart. And over there in Bradford, they just named a street or area there in Bradford. It's kind of like a turnabout or a walkabout, and there's a connection of about four or five streets. And for 17 years, all the years they were over there, they would go down and preach on the street in Bradford. Now, when they went there, Bradford at the time only had a couple of Islamic mosques there. Now they have how many? Number 90. 90 mosques in this area where they pastored. And they would go and preach on the street there in Bradford. And they just recently named that corner Speaker's Corner. In honor of all those times that, and I still believe, I thinking about this today, I thought, man, I could probably, it's amazing that all of that preaching that went on all those years in that corner, I could just imagine just the word just bouncing off of those buildings, coming back, following right through, that the presence of God, there's still a residue of the presence of God in that square. And who knows, somebody may be walking through there someday and all of a sudden just be like, what's that? What's that? And just the presence. We just believe the anointing of God will always be there. And so Ronnie and Christy have always been a blessing in our life. They're currently waiting for God's direction to pastor or to do missions again, whatever God leads them to do. They're an in-betweeners. I've been an in-betweener. I know what it's like to be an in-betweener when you got a call of God on your life. And so he's going to be a great blessing to you this morning. Would you put your hands together and welcome Ronnie Moore this morning and just welcome him. Hallelujah. I would tell you some Ronnie Moore stories, but I'll just wait.
Awesome. Love you, Pastor. I love you, buddy. Amen. Wow, what a beautiful place here. Awesome. God has blessed you. Yeah, you have done well here. It's wonderful. I was sitting down there. I drove over that bridge coming here. And as I was sitting there, it's like the Spirit of the Lord said, you know, he said, does God speak to you audibly? No, he speaks much louder than that. Yeah. Amen. He speaks much louder than that. He said that this church is a bridge over troubled waters. Yeah. Yeah. It's a bridge over troubled waters. Of course, we're all very familiar with that song. Dozens of artists have sung that song. But this is a bridge over troubled waters. And Shane has already caught the vision going in from the uttermost to the guttermost. Amen? Praise the Lord. And hallelujah. So I just wanted my wife to greet you. This is definitely the best part. We shall be one, but she's the best part of the one. Amen. And she was a little Catholic girl. And on a search for God, used to go to church every day in parochial school, and used to go into church and talk to those, you know, relics and statues, and just searching for God. I mean, sincere. I mean, she was sincere, searching for the Lord. And wasn't real religious. She was just on a hunt for God. But, you know, her sister brought her to her home Bible study that I was teaching up in Kentucky, up in Latonia, Kentucky, and she gave her heart to the Lord. Then I was smart enough to marry her 9 months later. Amen. Hallelujah. 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 So this is my wife, Christy Moore, and she's definitely probably a better preacher than the teacher I am.
It's really good to be here. I've heard a lot about the church down here, a lot, and then I heard that you had moved into a new building, Shane was saying, and so this is awesome. Really, really great. We were Googling it this morning, trying to find our way, following the little bouncing ball like you do, you know. And it was beautiful when we pulled up. But it's not about what's on the outside, is it? It's about what's on the inside. And it's about the body of Christ here. in this church. And when Shane was talking about going to the streets, you know, like he was saying, you know, we did do a lot of street ministry in England. And we went all over England, preaching in Scotland and Wales and north, south, east, and west of the United Kingdom, because we always had a heart for that. But we love the street ministry. And you just never know when you go to the streets, when you're witnessing in your supermarket, or when you're talking to somebody at the on the job. You know, you could be witnessing, and you are witnessing, to an apostle, a prophet, an evangelist, a pastor, a teacher, a businessman, you know, a mother who changes the generations, you know, after her, her children and grandchildren. And you say to yourself, well, how could that be? Well, you're here today, aren't you? Yeah. Someone shared with you the message. Shane, a pastor, and Laura, pastors. You know, whoever, I don't really know your whole story, but whoever led you to Christ, they didn't know you'd be pastoring here today. Come on. That's good. You are on a treasure hunt. Jesus said that, you know, you go and you find the pearl. You find the treasure in the field. And as you are sharing your testimony and the testimony of Jesus himself, of his death, his burial, his resurrection, and his soon coming, that seed, the sower sows the word. Yeah. And that seed will not return void. Now, you never know what kind of heart it's going to fall on. You know, Jesus gave the parable of the sower. You never know what heart it's going to fall on, whether it's a hard heart that's been trodden over by influences over many years, or the heart that maybe is shallow at the time, or the heart that's full of thorns, full of the cares and worldly concerns. And you never know if that seed is going to fall onto that good soil and bring forth fruit. 60-fold, 100-fold. You see, but a hard heart can be changed. A thorny heart can be changed. And the Bible says some plant, some water, God gives the increase. So you may not pray with every single person to be saved whom you share and who you sow the word into their life. But you just never know. The Bible says that God adds to the church daily those that are being saved. Yes. And we build up the body. You know, we make disciples of those who are already in the body of Christ. But then God continues to add to the church daily. And so it's exciting where God has you right now. It's exciting where God has planted you. And now he has given each one of us seed to sow. And we are just to be diligent about the Lord's business, and that is the Lord's business. He is the vineyard owner, and he has sent us into the field, and the field is the world. The field is the world. You know, we know that. We've gone to several countries, and which is great, but God always calls us to be faithful to wherever we are. God has planted you here. And now you take the seed of the word of God and begin to scatter it. There's no wrong person to tell about Jesus. There's no wrong person. You don't have to pray, Lord, should I tell this person or that person? You're to scatter the seed and let God watch over his word to perform it. And so I am excited about what God is doing here. And I really count it a privilege to be able to share and for Ronnie and I to be here today, because we honor Shane and Laura so highly. And I'm friends for many years. And those, you know, you don't take lightly, do you? And so God bless you today. And thank you for having us. And may God just continue to add and to enrich your life as you walk with him every day.
Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Love you. Now, I can't smile that big because I just got a new plate and I forgot to put it in today. So I'm not going to smile that big. Amen. But praise the Lord. We'll get through it. And you must be a great bunch of people because you had the wisdom to choose Shane and Laura as your pastors. So you must have felt, you know, out of your integrity, what's in them as leaders and those of you that were responsible for saying, yeah, we want them to shepherd us, to feed the flock of God, to watch over the flock of God. There's maturity in the house, okay? And that's what that's why Shane wants to guard that and continue to feed. You feed the sheep, you don't fleece them. You feed the sheep, you don't bleed them. Amen? You feed the sheep, you don't beat them. You feed the flock of God. Jesus said, if you love me, Peter, feed my sheep. And the first qualification of a shepherd, a pastor, the Bible calls it even a bishop, is to feed the flock of God. Yeah. To look after them. Make sure they're fed well. Because healthy sheep love to give their wool. Amen? And they just lie down for the shepherd and just let him shear them. Amen? Once a year. Amen? Healthy sheep don't mind that. Because the shepherd's looking after them. Praise the Lord. But one story about Christy, and then we'll get on with the message today. I was torn between two messages. We were preaching at the 1984 Summer Olympics in Los Angeles, California. And Christy was preaching. I guess she had gone about 45 minutes. And this one couple had stood there and listened the whole time. And when Christy was preaching, she was drawn to them. And after she was done, she said, there was a couple there. This man looked so familiar. He looked so familiar. And you know who the guy was? He was Michael York, who played John the Baptist in Jesus of Nazareth. Michael York, who played John the Baptist in Jesus of Nazareth. He sat there and listened to the gospel for a good 45 minutes in front of the Olympics out there in front of the Coliseum. And she said, I know that guy. And when we saw the movie, she recognized him. Isn't that amazing? You never know who you're going to run into. And I don't think he was saved at that time. But he later on began to make movies for TBN. On these last day movies, he was the Antichrist in one of the movies that TBN made. So it's amazing. You just never know when you're in a supermarket or, you know, working as a secretary or in technology or the person next to you, just that Jesus loves you. You know, you don't have to be a Bible theologian to tell somebody Jesus loves them, do you? And it'll hit. It's a seed. It is a seed. But I was torn between two messages today, but I think I'm going to go with a message I have preached before, but I think it's a message that God has given me for his whole body. All right, I was torn between the message, the two prodigals, and the message, thirst, currency of heaven, yeah. And talking about thirst and hunger. Am I loud enough? Can you hear me all right? Yeah. And so we're going to go with thirst today, thirst and hunger, the currency of heaven. Praise the Lord. Lord, we thank you, Lord, for your word. Lord, we know your word is already anointed, but Lord, I pray for your anointing on my life today, Lord, that I would speak clearly, and Lord, under the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that your word would come out, Lord, in clarity, Lord, with edification and exhortation and conviction, and Lord, that you would just touch us today through your word and heal people in this place today, Lord. Most of all, first of all, if there's someone here that does not know you as their personal Savior, that someone invited them to the church today because they cared about them, Lord. If there's someone here that does not know you as their personal Lord and Savior, Lord, Lord, we pray first and foremost that that person would come to know Christ as personal Savior today. That those that are sick in body, Lord, that you confirm the word of your servant, you perform the counsel of your messenger, that you would heal God. You said that we would lay hands on the sick and that they would recover. Lord, that the elders of the church could pray, anoint with oil, and people would be made whole, God. We We pray for healing. If there's those that are here today, Lord, that have not experienced, Lord, the baptism of the Holy Spirit, Lord, but they long for that, Lord. Not a pressure thing, but, Lord, they long for the baptism of the Holy Spirit, to pray in their heavenly language, Lord. If there's any here today, Lord, that desire that, Lord, just let that come just as such a gentle flow of your Holy Spirit and fill people with the Holy Spirit in this house today, Lord. In Jesus Christ's name, Lord, just meet every need. Hallelujah. Meet every need, God. This, Lord, cause this whole congregation, Lord, to live under open heaven, God, and Christian and I as well, Lord, to live in an open heaven of your favor and your blessing as we are blessing to you, Lord. In Jesus Christ's name, and all God's people says amen. Well, let me sort myself out here a moment. Hallelujah. Get this thing. Let's turn to our Bible in Isaiah, I think it's 44. Let me get my notes here. Sometimes I pull these notes up. I may use them, I may not. You know how that is. And so Isaiah 44, verse 1. Isaiah 44, verse 1. We're talking about the currency of heaven today. The currency of heaven. You've heard your pastor say several times today about bringing on earth what is already in heaven. We've heard that today a few times. And what did Jesus mean when he said, on earth as is in heaven? I guess I'm so used to my loud voice, you know, what did he mean, on earth as is it in heaven? You know, everything, the Bible says everything that is has already been in Ecclesiastes. And everything that shall be has already been. Everything that is has already been. Everything that shall be has already been. Now, in the sovereignty of God, in the sovereignty of God, he sees our life as a whole from beginning to the end. The Bible says that we were accepted in Christ even before the foundations of the world, before God ever made a star, before God ever made a planet, before this blue planet was ever here, God chose us. He chose us. Jesus says, you have not chosen me, I have chosen you. Now, I don't understand all that, but I know God knows all things. He cannot learn anything. God knows all things. That's his attribute, the all-knowing one, the omnipotent one, the omnipresent one. Hallelujah. So our life is already a story that's been told. Now, we do not know that. See, we do not see that because we're in a particular capsule of time in our life. You know, we're here in 2014 of September, and some of us probably have a lot of stories to tell how we got here, how we got to this point. See, what we got to realize that the destiny is different than the destination. I shared this at Heritage a little bit the other night. The destiny is different than the destination. Our destination has been paid for by the finished work of Jesus Christ. If we believe truly in our heart, if we're truly a believer and not a make-believer, see, there's a lot of people always question, well, once saved, always saved, eternal security, da-da-da. I don't get all hung up in that. But I know if I'm truly a believer, I'm eternally saved if I'm a true believer. Now, I'm not going to split hairs over, you know, people's opinion, because if God wants my opinion, he'll give it to me. Amen? And God has given us his opinion, and this word is his opinion. You know, this is what God says about it. So I'm not going to base my belief in my salvation on anything but this Bible. And me believing what this Bible says. I'm not going to base someone being saved on their on-again, off-again, on-again, off-again, on-again, off-again religious experience. Well, they were saved, but now they're not saved. Well, they walked with Jesus for a year, but now they're a drug addict. I'm not going to get into all that, all right? because I'm not going to base, and we shouldn't, and you should never base your belief upon someone's experience. You should base your belief on what does the Word of God say. The Word of God says if you're truly a believer and not a make-believer in the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ, and you sincerely believe that, and Christ has come into your heart, and you live daily in that belief, hey, your destination is covered, folks. You will go to your destination. You will be with Christ wherever he is, and so why? But my destiny is different than my destination. See, all who believe will go to their destination. Now, I'm taking another trail here. All who believe will go to their destination, but not all who believe will fulfill their destiny. See, the destiny is a journey. The destiny is a cooperation with the Holy Spirit and with the Godhead, right, in decision-making, obedience. Our destiny is based upon our choices. You see, some of the greatest destinies are buried out there in the cemetery prematurely. Some of the greatest destinies. Many destinies, God forbid, have been aborted in the womb. Many destinies. Those little babies will be in their destination. They'll be with Jesus. Amen. Because there is a spirit upon conception, folks. An eternal spirit. Hallelujah. So what I'm saying, we must cooperate with God and have a passion, a desire, and a determination, a tenacity to fulfill the destiny in our lives. Now, I'm sharing this a little bit at the beginning here because I feel this is necessary. Why would there be a judgment seat of Christ if we did not have something to account to God for? Now, I'm not talking about the white throne judgment. The white throne judgment of Revelation chapter 20 is for unbelievers. I will never face the white throne judgment, even though I will be there with Christ. Okay, and you will be there with Christ as he opens the books. But there's a judgment seat of Christ. The Corinthians says we must all, Christians, stand before the judgment seat of Christ. Why is there a judgment seat if we're not accountable for something? See, Jesus accounted for our salvation. And we put our trust in that, and we believe that. But we have a destiny to account for. You see, where our works in our body will be judged at the judgment seat of Christ. Some will be hay and stubble. Some will be precious stones. What is worth more? A barn full of hay or a handful of jewels, stones, precious stones? What's worth more? So it's not the quantity, the bigness of something, it's the value of it. Why we did what we did. The motive of it. Why are you going down there and giving them hamburgers out? Amen? And that's where our works are judged. You know, my wife's going to India on the 25th to minister to 200 pastor wives there. Why is she going to India? See, motive. See, that's rewards are according to motive, not how much you did, but why you did it. But our destiny, we must account for our destiny. Will we fulfill our destiny on our way to our destination? That's the key. Will we fulfill our destiny on our way to our destination? Like I shared the other night, I fear one thing. I don't fear hell. One thing I fear in my Christian life is that I will not fulfill my destiny and make full proof of the ministry that God is, and the call, whatever that is. It's not always a pulpit ministry or a fivefold ministry, whatever God has called, to make full proof of that. Amen? Yeah. Like Paul said, I count not my life dear unto myself. But one thing I want to do, I want to finish my course or finish my destiny with joy. I want to finish it with joy. Don't want to go out of some bitter preacher, mad at everybody, mad at the congregation. Just want to finish with joy. Amen? That's how I want to finish my destiny, with joy. And here's how I finished. That's how I finished. Before his head hit the basket, he was in the presence of God. Amen? Yeah. Praise the Lord. So I don't know how we're going to finish, but let's finish with joy. Praise the Lord. So anyway, thirst, hunger. You know, the currency of heaven, how do we get into manifestation what is already in heaven? Like healings in heaven. All the finance you need. Of course, it's on earth. But what I'm saying, you know, the Bible says the silver and the gold belongs to God. The cattle on the thousand hills belong to God. And the tater under the hills. Amen? Potatoes under the hills. So, but how do we get into manifestation? Tangible manifestation. What's been provided for us by the Lord. Of course, we know prayer is one way. That's the currency of heaven. You know, you pray and you believe. You have not because you ask not. So prayer is currency that we can draw out of heaven into manifestation upon earth. And, of course, we know faith. It says without faith it's impossible to please God. Many times Jesus said your faith has made you whole. Many times. Not all the time. Sometimes it's somebody else's faith. Sometimes it may not even be faith. It may be the sovereignty of God that came on the scene and, you know, and just healed you. When you least deserved it. Amen? A lot of times I got the best things from God when I probably least deserved it. When I think I deserve something, it seems like it comes very slow. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Nothing to earn, but a lot to learn. Amen? Can't earn anything from God by reading more, praying more. But we need to do that. But sometimes God just invades us with his blessing when we least deserve. Praise the Lord. But by faith, you bring into manifestation what's in heaven. By faith. The prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord will raise him up. Amen? But there's other things I feel that are currency that you can draw things out of heaven. One of those things is thirst. Thirst. It says here in Isaiah 44 that I will pour water on him. Starting with verse 1 and 2. Isaiah 1 and 2. And first of all, it says, "Hear, O Jacob." Just put your name where Jacob is. Say, "Hear, O Ronnie." "Hear, O Shane." Find your name in the book. We have to find your name in the book. Amen. We have to read these scriptures, study these scriptures, and see our name in there. Like it's to us, because it is. "Hear, O Jacob," and he goes on to say, "I will pour water on him who is thirsty. And I will pour floods upon the dry ground. And I'll pour out of my spirit upon your offspring." You see the process there. "I'll pour water on him who is thirsty." You know, Tozer said, "I long to be made more thirsty still." You don't wait till you're dry before you get thirsty. See, that's the key. You don't wait till you're bone dry, desert dry, before you get thirsty. You got to thirst while you're drinking. While you have been drinking, you still have to thirst. While you're drinking of his presence, you still have to thirst. You don't wait till you're bone dry on spiritual IVs, right? Pumping in the spiritual liquids before you get thirsty. You gotta thirst while you have already been drinking. And when you're not dry, that's when you thirst. You don't wait till you're bone dry before you're thirsty. Jesus said, "Be ye," in Ephesians, "be ye continually filled with the Holy Spirit," is a literal translation there. You know, the baptism of the Holy Spirit is an event, but the Spirit-filled life is an adventure. It's a life. The Spirit-filled life is not an event. The baptism of the Holy Spirit is an event. Salvation is an event. But the Christian life is a journey. The Spirit-filled life is a journey. It's not a one-time, well, I got baptized in the Holy Ghost in 1938. I spoke in tongues then, haven't spoken tongues much since then, but I did then. So I'm baptized in the Holy Ghost. Now, I'm not waving a banner of tongues up here, but you don't get the shoe without the tongue. Let me say that again. You don't get the shoe without the tongue. You know, our shoes would look awkward. They didn't have a tongue in them, wouldn't they? No, you get the tongue with the shoe. Paul said, I speak in tongues more than you all. Now, it wasn't something he just go around doing all the time out of order. Let all things be done decently and in order. We love that part of that scripture. Let all things be done decently in order. I like the first part of that scripture. Let all things be done. Let all things be done, then we'll worry about the order. If you ain't doing nothing, you don't have to worry about no order. But if you're doing something, then you worry about the order. But let all things be done. And what's he talking about? The gifts of the Spirit there in Corinthians. People all want to dwell decently in order, but they don't want to get nothing done. You see? We need to get all things done. He that hath the word, let him bring a word. He that hath a song, let him bring a song. When you come together, praise the Lord. Of course, you need 6 weeks of teaching, you know, on all the gifts to really, and there's nothing wrong with that. Instruction's good. But let's get all things done. Praise the Lord. Can you say praise the Lord? Praise the Lord. I hope you're not mad at me yet. Praise the Lord. It's fun being saved. Hallelujah. What would you be if you were not a Pentecostal or charismatic, whatever they call us? They used to call us holy rollers. Now they call us charismatics. Amen. I don't know what I am. I just love Jesus. And I know you love Jesus. You know, our titles are going to blow off going to heaven or burn off going to hell. You know, who cares? Like Shane put on his blog to, you know, on Facebook about titles. Who cares about titles? The problem with most churches, they're not demon-possessed, they're deacon-possessed. Stand up, Deacon Charles, and lead us in a word of criticism. We're not one of those churches today, are we? This church is on the move. There's something happening at River Valley because the river's flowing here at River Valley. The river is flowing. How I just come here to throw a log on the fire. I didn't come here to fix anything, to correct anything. I just come in here to maybe pour a little oil on what's already flowing here. Amen. Is that okay? Praise the Lord. Fun being saved. Hallelujah. But we need to thirst for God while we're already drinking. Corinthians says, 1 Corinthians chapter 12, for by one Spirit were we baptized into one body, and we've all been made to drink of that same Spirit. Say drink. That's in 1 Corinthians 12, 13. The church has been made to drink of the same Spirit. See, you eat the Word of God, but you drink of the Spirit. A lot of people don't want to eat, but they don't want to drink. I mean, they love eating. They love theology. They love doctrine. You can be doctrinally right, but dead wrong. Amen? If you're doctrinally right, but dead wrong, I'm a doctrinal person. I studied under Pastor Chuck Smith of Calvary Chapel, Costa Mesa, out there for years. One of the finest word-by-word, verse-by-verse books of the Bible, through the Bible, you know, pick the words apart for years. I still study that way. But you can be so doctrinally right that you're dead wrong. If you got all your doctrine right, but you don't have love, what profit is there? You can't love people. You got to love people. Hallelujah. So drink. We've been made to drink. Now what do you drink? You drink of the Spirit. You drink of His presence. The presence of God. See, a lot of folks want presence, but they don't want presence. They want P-R-E-S-E-N-T-S. Give me the stuff, Lord. Give me the goodies. P-R-E-S-E-N-T-S. Give me the stuff. I'm mature because I got three houses and four cars, and that's nice. I mean, I got one out there about ready to break down out there, but thank God, you know what I mean? Thank God we made it here, amen? But praise the Lord. But the presents are okay. God is a God of prosperity. It's His will to bless us, to prosper us. And you built this building because there are prosperous people in this church that love God, that are not stingy. They love God, and they're generous. That's why you sit here in a new sanctuary. We love the blessings of God, and that's wonderful. But I want to tell you, if you had the presence, but not the presence, P-R-E-S-E-N-C-E, the presence of the Lord, the presence of the Lord. See, if I'm set out on a gutter by myself and I get the presence of God, I'm a happy man. See, folks, we got to go for the cloud, not the crowd. And if you go with the cloud long enough, the crowd's going to line up at the door. They'll line up because they're going to get hungry. They're going to get thirsty because dead religion has nothing to offer them. I love my wife when she preached down in Columbia, Kentucky. She got off preaching about religion. She said, "What is dead religion?" She said, "People worship religion. They worship a God that does nothing." People that are just religious, that are not saved, they worship a God that does nothing. That's not who I'm talking to today. I'm talking to some hungry and thirsty people here today. Hallelujah. And your pastor and pastor's wife are hungry and they're thirsty for the more. I love my name for this move of God. My last name is Moore. I think I might change our ministries from Hosanna Ministries to Moore Ministries. Amen? But we got a thirst for God. We got a thirst for His presence. The Bible said, in His presence is fullness of joy. It's fullness of joy where His presence is. Joy. I'll tell you, we need joy. There's nothing that'll kill you quicker in the ministry than the minister without the joy of the Lord. To try to pastor a church without the joy of the Lord. To try to serve in the church without the joy of the Lord. Man, it's damaging to your health. Amen. But the joy of the Lord is our strength. So, His presence brings joy. J-O-Y. Jesus overwhelms you. J-O-Y. Jesus overwhelms you. Joy unspeakable and full of glory. The joy of the Lord, my strength. In my hard times and dark times, the joy of the Lord is my only hope and my strength. Weeping endures for a night, but joy comes in the morning. Amen. Joy comes in the morning. Hallelujah. Martin Lloyd-Jones, a great pastor and theologian from England. He said, "You pastors, let me give you a word." He said, "If you're having a down time, or you're having a bad time, or you're having a sad time," he says, "you make sure you get that taken care of before you go to before God's people." Now, I'm not saying you can't be transparent, but you don't bring a sad story to this pulpit to God's people. You come before God's people with joy. You come to before God's people in victory and hope. Always have hope and joy when you come before God's people. Never come to them with gloom, despair, in agony on me. Despair in agony on me. If it weren't for bad luck, I'd have no luck at all. Gloom, despair in agony on me. Folks, there's too much hee-haw Christianity in the church. Amen. A lot of you folks know what I mean, don't you? Because you're some of you as old as me. Amen. Hee-haw Christianity. Hee-haw leadership. Don't need that. Don't need that. God's people are too valuable. Jesus paid too much for us to have to listen to that junk. Amen? Praise the Lord. Come with the song. Come with joy. Come with hope. Come with victory. Come. Hallelujah. So we need to drink of the presence of God. I'll pour water on him who is thirsty. We need to drink. We need to drink the new wine. Come on down, the water's fine. You may have to dip 7 times. You know what I mean? Remember the leper? Name of the leper? He had leprosy, wanted to be healed. Wanted the prophet to come down and pray over him to be healed. Prophet didn't even come. He sent a messenger. He said, well, where's the prophet? Doesn't he know who I am? Where's the prophet at? Well, he sent me. And he has a message for you. And what's the message? Well, God's going to heal you, but you got to go over here to the River Jordan and dip 7 times. You got to dip 7 times. He said, what's wrong with this clean river over here? What's wrong with this clean river? Why can't I go there and dip? And why do I have to dip 7 times? Because that's what God said. It's Yahweh or no way, folks. It's Yahweh or no way. People want to touch a God. They want to move a God. Move me if you can, God. I ain't been moved for 30 years. And I don't think I will now. He won't. He won't. But if you're willing, he's willing. From the back aisle to the front to this place. I love this here. I love the amount of space you have here for ministry. I'll tell you how alive a church is when you go into their building and see how close they got the chair set up toward the platform. And if they got enough, so they can just squeeze somebody else in, I don't care. If they got 9,000, there's not a place for ministry, then you're dead. You're dead. If there's not a place where God's people can come and pray at the altar, come and get touched by God, come to an area that's being designated, I call it a hot zone. Amen? It's a hot zone where people can come up to the hot zone, right? When if they're willing to come, then God's willing to meet them. Amen? That determines the life of a church. Not squeezing another one in. Always make room for the people to have a place to come. So he said, dip 7 times. And he dipped 7 times, and he got healed. Come on down, the water's fine. You may have to dip 7 times. So that's where I got that. But we got to drink. We got to thirst for God. If a dying man's out in a desert, and he's about ready to die, blistered and parched and skin peeling off, just about ready to breathe his last breath. But he's got enough strength to lift up his head. And he lifts up his head, and he sees a figure coming at him, and he realizes that it's a person. And the closer that person gets, he sees that this person has a pitcher of water in one hand and a handful of money in the other hand. What is a dying man on a desert going to reach for? Amen. He going to reach for the water. But most of the church are reaching for the money, aren't they? They find every gimmick in the world. You know, to fleece God's people raising money. You know, money, money, money. Nothing wrong with money. Money makes a wonderful servant, but it makes a horrible master. Let me say that again. Money makes a wonderful servant. Makes a horrible master. Until you reach for the water, God's going to send all the money you need. And this proof around here. Amen. You're living proof. Because you're reaching for the water. We got to drink of his presence. How do you drink? You drink of the new wine. I love what Pastor Cluddy says. He said, one grape, the wine don't make. Might not be good grammar, but one grape, the wine don't make. The wine is in the cluster. You get the wine out of the cluster. We are a cluster of grapes. And as we are engaging and encountering God together, it produces the new wine of heaven called the presence of God. As we engage and encounter God together as a cluster, not just one person drawing attention to himself or something like that, but as a congregation pursuing, engaging God through worship, the presence of God comes and we drink. We drink. We drink of the new wine. We got to realize Bud never made anybody wiser. Amen? We drink of the new wine, the heavenly wine. Bud never made anybody wiser. Miller Low Light, not Miller High Light. Miller Darkness, not Miller Light. One time they had a Budweiser commercial where they took the bottle cap and they put it on top of the Budweiser. And it looked like a crown sitting on top of the bottle of Bud. Famous Super Bowl commercial. And it says, King of Beers. I said, what a puny king. What a puny king. Some of us in this room got converted from Jack Daniels to John 3:16. Amen. How many got converted from Jack Daniels to John 3:16? Let me see a little hand raised there. Amen. You're high on the most high now, aren't you? Some of you take pills to get up, pills to stay up, and pills to go to bed. But the only kind of pills now you take are the gospels. Amen. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and all the rest. The gospels. Amen. High on the most high. If I did drugs, it'd bring me down. Because high on God. It's a high life. Christianity, spiritual life, is a high life. It's the good life. It's not, oh, it's me. Pray I hold the fort till Jesus comes. I think God can handle that. I think God can handle holding it till he comes. Amen. The Bible said he holds the earth together. He holds it together. We don't have to hold no fort. Amen. Hallelujah. I'm having fun up here. Is it okay if I have a little fun? Hallelujah. Thank God there's no clock on the wall. I don't know. I don't know how. I don't have a watch, so I don't know. But I do want to pray for people today. So we got a thirst. We got a drink. Some people only like to eat. Like I said before, they like to eat the word. They have their favorite preacher. Oh, I love T.D. Jakes. I do too. I love Joyce Meyer. Well, I do too. And they have all their favorite teachers, all their favorite preachers. Oh, I like this one better than that one. I like this. They love to eat. They love to eat. If you talk about the presence of God and drinking of his presence and maybe lingering a little while after church and linger in the presence of God, or maybe having a special meeting where it's just a glory meeting where the presence of God and worship, you know, it's just a night of that. And oh, don't talk to me about that stuff. We're over there in England, and I'll tell you, the Africans, and I'm not being a, this is not a prejudice statement, the Africans are notorious for getting to church late. I mean, they're notorious. And because in Africa, they learn that as a custom, they just get there when they get there. But they'll be the last ones to leave. But they get there when they get there. And they normally will show up after worship. They'll normally show up after worship. And there's a lot of even Christians that they don't get to church after the worship. Brother, I love the worship today. The worship was wonderful. I love that Bob Dylan sound you have. I do. I love that. Sweet presence today as you worship, brother. What's your name? Jeremy. I have a son named Jeremy. He's a worship leader over in Cincinnati. You know Jeremy? How about that? But the presence of God, we need to drink of the presence. If you only eat, but you don't drink of his presence, I better watch it here. I was at Community Pentecostal Church one time when Christy first got saved. So we went to Tommy Bates Church. I don't know what anybody ever heard of Tommy Bates. He's a what you call a Pentecostal preacher, amen. You know, I'm a little conservative compared to Tommy. And man, he was playing on that piano, and he came jumping up off that piano about 6 feet in the air, it looked like. And there's this little boy on the stage just, you know, getting them shakes and just dancing around. And the platform is about this high. It's pretty, this is the first, one of her first church services. And boy, that little kid, he had his eyes closed. He went right off that platform. He just walked right out into open air, didn't realize what he's doing. He didn't get hurt by the grace of God, didn't get hurt. But man, that was her first induction into a wild spirit-filled church. I mean, that's a wild spirit-filled church. Now, but sometimes we need to get out of character. Amen. We need to get out of character. We live in a comfort zone where this is where we are comfortable. This is where it feels nice. And that's good, because if you were out of character all the time, it would look sort of like fake. But occasionally, God will get you out of character so he can get something to you. So he can get something to you. You know, like the guy dipping 7 times. God is healing. He got out of character. He was used to having people probably wash him in the tub, if you know what I mean, because he was a high upper. But sometimes God will get us out of our comfort zone. And my wife was certainly out of her comfort zone that night. Now she's become one of us. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. But we need to drink. If we only drink, and if we only eat the Word of God and we don't drink, guess what's going to happen if you do that in the natural? If in the natural, in eating natural food, if you only eat, but never take in liquids, guess what? You're going to need some relief. Amen? Your prayer is going to be like this, oh, God! Yeah, because you need relief. You know, if you're only eating the Word and not drinking of His presence, you're going to need some relief. And that's what moves of the Holy Spirit do. That's what they do. They come and they touch us out of our comfort zone, and they get us out of character so maybe we can release ourselves in the things that we would not normally do. A lot of times that's where gifts of the Spirit are imparted at those times. So we need to eat of the Word of God, but we need to drink. We need to hunger. They who hunger and thirst shall be filled. But we need to thirst. Jesus, in John chapter 7, he said on that great day of the feast, Jesus went up. And it said it was the last day. And what those people would do, they come up there and they pour out all this water out on the porch there. These big things of water. And it is said that what Jesus did, what they would do, they would walk from the Valley of Kidron up into this place and pour out this water. They would bring that water up from down in the Valley of the Kidron and pour that water out. So on the last day, it is said that you can't, you know, history says this, that Jesus walked to the Valley of Kidron. He didn't bring any water up with him. And he cried in a loud voice. He did not whisper. He cried out loud. He said, if there's anyone, he wasn't crying to the multitudes. He said, if there's one here that's thirsty, if anyone, doesn't matter, high or low, down or out, doesn't matter, is anyone here thirsty, let him come unto me and drink. Say, drink. For out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water will spring up out of his belly. See, folks, it comes from the belly. See, to be a good drinker, you know, it's okay to think in your business. It's okay to think even when you're studying the Word of God. It's okay to think. But sometimes we need to turn the thinker off and get down to the belly and drink. See, you drink. You see, it comes from here. The river comes from here. One of the best things that can happen to some of us is for God to give us a head bypass. I don't mean that to be crude or smart alecky or critical or anything, but I gave that word to a man in England one time. Sir, God wants to give you a head bypass tonight. That word changed his life. Because he was such analytical. He was analytical. He had to analyze everything. Is this God? Isn't that God? Could that be God? Oh, that couldn't be that. Sister doing acting like that? That cannot be God. Well, see, we don't know what's God. See, because all manifestations, I'm winding down here. All manifestations, whether it's shaking or jerking or laughing or crying or running or dancing, manifestations, all manifestations are not the Holy Ghost. They are reactions to the Holy Ghost. So when we have a manifestation going on, well, you can't say, well, that's God. No, that's a reaction that that particular person is having to an encounter with the presence of God. We can't blame God for all the crazy stuff we do. Amen? So we really can't. But, you know, God can handle it. You don't police it. You pastor it. You don't police it. If somebody is just reacting to the presence of God, you don't police it. You pastor it. Because if you start policing everything, people will be so afraid to react in any way. They won't do nothing. Nobody prophesying. Nobody just expressing praise. Because they think somebody's going to come up and correct them or something. No, Pastor Shane knows this. He's been in this long enough. You just pull them aside if they became a little bit of a spectacle. Just later, at a different time, pull them aside and say, yeah, I'm glad you're having a wonderful experience with God. But, you know, let's just not draw too much attention to yourself. We want to keep the eyes on Jesus. Amen? We want to keep eyes on Jesus. But let's react to the Holy Ghost. I mean, we're not dead, folks. Rigor mortis has not set in here. You know what I mean? If rigor mortis has set in anybody, well, God can certainly fix that. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. So, we got to drink of his presence. Let's not be a wet blanket, amen? If God's moving, don't be a wet blanket. Just join in the fun if God's moving. Don't be an old wet blanket. Just say, yeah, I may not act like that person or do that person does, but I'm going to join in because I know God's in the house. God is here, and I'm not going to miss out. And sometimes we miss out when God is moving because we try to figure everything out. We can't figure it out, folks. The stuff that's happened in this move of God the last 15, 20 years, I can't figure it out. I can't figure out why my wife laid for 4 hours on the carpet when the move of God first hit at Heritage. And one of the strongest rebukes I ever got in my life from Pastor Cletty when she was there laying on the floor. And we had just had a new baby. And we lived in a white house in back of the church, right? And our babysitter was back there, and that baby needed to be fed. And Christy was nursing, amen? So I had a couple people pick her up by the arms and took her back to the house to feed that baby. I never heard the last of that. Pastor Cletty said, let me tell you something. See, it was all new to me too. I mean, I was a perfectly good Pentecostal charismatic. But when the move of God hit our church, he wrecked our church. He wrecked a perfectly good Pentecostal church. Messed it up. Revival's messy. Say, revival's messy. And he says, don't you ever do that again. Get somebody, lift them up out of the presence of God. You go feed that baby some formula. Amen. And I'll tell you, it was a nice rebuke and I received it. Hallelujah. I'll tell you. I was telling Chris, I said, this carpet is so thick, my feet are sinking into it. There ain't no sacrificing carpet time here. Man, I'm used to tents with muddy floors and, you know, and hardwood floors. Man, you guys have no excuse for not doing carpet time here. Man, you can lay down and take a good nap in the presence. Amen? I mean, this is incredible. You were thinking about that's wonderful. It's a great place to do carpet time. How many's ever done carpet time? Praise the Lord. You got any rug burns lately? Praise the Lord. This guy at our church in Heritage, Michael Rickey, when the move of God hit our church, he came up here and because he was a diver. He's an incredible swimming pool diver. When we were kids, I used to remember this guy could dive. Man, he went and dove up on the platform. Man, had a big rug burn all down his face. Man, he thought there was water up there. He saw water. We had another kid from England when the move of God hit Heritage. He literally, and I'm not exaggerating, folks. I hate exaggeration. I think it's just lying. I had 400 today, but they're counting toes and they're counting their fingers. Amen. We had 400. This kid from England literally swam across the carpet. He was moving, swimming. Everybody else thought that was little old thin carpet. I'm talking about the old building. No, that boy was swimming in water. That boy was swimming. It was supernatural, folks. He was literally swimming. Now, you want to hear the crazy stuff? When he would come up against the platform, he would kick off of the platform and start swimming back the other way. I saw it with my own eyes, swimming across the carpet. I've never seen anything like it. That's the craziest manifestation I've ever seen. Crazy. People tried to mimic that. Dozens of people. They could not even get 3 feet. That boy was swimming. He was swimming. I hope that young boy remembers that experience, because that young boy's not living for God today. But maybe God had to do that back then for somewhere now, in the nasty now in his life, that he'll recall that. You never know what one encounter. 30 minutes in the presence of God can do more than 2 years of counseling. People said, oh, I need to be counseled. I need inner healing. I need deliverance. I need. No, you need the presence. You need the presence. You don't need the couch. You need the cross. Realize who you are in Christ at the cross. You don't need somebody to sit and counsel you for 2 years on a couch, telling you why you are the way you are. No, we don't need that, do we? I'm not talking to any person. I'm just using this as a principle. We just need that encounter with the, say this, on me, presence of God. We need an encounter with the on me presence of God. You know, there's churches all through this valley here meeting. They know the omnipresence of God, the omnipresence of God. God is everywhere at one time. Where shall I go from your presence? But folks, they don't know the on me presence of God. See, that only comes by invitation. God is everywhere at one time in his omnipresence, but not, he's not everywhere in his manifest, tangible, revealed presence. That comes by invitation. That's what's in this room today here.